Welcome back to Machines Learning.
Yes, welcome in, everyone.
This is our daily deep dive where we take, one fresh paper from the world of machine learning and AI, and we try to translate it.
And translate it for thoughtful listeners who, well, don't necessarily have a PhD to be curious about this stuff.
Right, exactly. Two hosts, one paper, and absolutely no math required.
Which is always the best part.
It really is. And for those keeping track, this is episode seven.
Episode 7 already, yeah.
Yeah, and across the first six episodes, we've kind of been building this one running idea, right?
Oh, the behavioral versus architectural thing.
Exactly. This ongoing tension in the field where, like, behavioral fixes, which means just training the model better or giving it better prompts, those keep losing out to architectural fixes.
Right, which means actually changing the underlying structure, the environment the model runs in.
Right. And today's paper takes that exact framework and applies it to basically the most fundamental question in the entire field.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. Which is, when a language model claims to be reasoning, like, what is that reasoning actually made of?
It's a huge question.
So the paper today is called LLM Reasoning is Latent, Not the Chain of Thought. It's by Wenxu Wang.
And we should note it's a single author position paper.
Right. So what does that mean exactly for the listener?
Well, it means Wang isn't presenting like a brand new lab experiment here. Instead, he's providing this really clean conceptual scaffold. He's looking at the mountain of existing evidence and making a very strong argument for which theory of AI reasoning is currently winning.
And spoiler alert, his conclusion kind of breaks the illusion of everything we thought we knew about how AI worked.
It totally shatters it
Yeah.
because we are so used to, associating coherent speech with coherent thought.
Right.
It's really hard for us to separate the two.
It really is. I mean, think about your own daily routine, right? If you're listening to this, you've probably used an AI recently. You ask a language model to solve a logic puzzle or maybe debug some
And
code.
you tell it to think step by step.
Exactly. And it doesn't just spit out an answer. It writes, like, step one and details its first assumption, then step two, working its way through the problem.
Thinking out loud.
Yeah, thinking out loud right there on the screen before it finally sticks the landing with the solution.
And it looks and feels exactly like human reasoning.
But our mission today is to figure out if that's all just a massive mirage. Because Wang is suggesting that those perfectly logical sentences you're reading, they have almost nothing to do with how the AI actually solved the problem.
Which is just wild to think about. To really grasp this, we have to look at that specific technique you just mentioned, the chain of thought prompting.
Right.
The whole AI industry relies on this right now.
Well, wait, let me push back on this right away. Because if I go to an AI right now and ask a hard math question, it might hallucinate.
Very likely, yeah.
But if I literally just add the phrase think step by step to my prompt, it suddenly gets it right.
It does. It's a highly repeatable phenomenon.
Right. So forcing it to write out those intermediate steps makes it demonstrably smarter. Doesn't that prove that the text it's generating is the actual reasoning?
Well, see, that is exactly the intuition that led the whole field to adopt what Wang calls the first of three competing hypotheses.
Okay, lay them out for me.
So he labels this first one H2. It stands for surface chain of thought.
Surface chain of thought. Okay.
Under H2, the reasoning is primarily mediated by the explicit surface text. The actual words on your screen are the cognitive substrate.
So the words are the thinking.
Exactly. When the model types out the word therefore, it reads that specific word back into its own system, and that's what triggers the next logical deduction.
Okay, so H2 is basically a what you see is what you get scenario. The act of writing out carry the two is the literal mechanism for carrying the two.
Precisely, and that's what most researchers have assumed. They study the visible text to understand the model's logic.
Makes sense. But obviously, Wang disagrees.
Right. He introduces two alternative explanations for why this works. And neither of them requires the text to be the actual reasoning.
Okay, what's the next one?
The first alternative is 8-0, which he calls serial compute.
Serial compute. All right, walk me through the mechanics of that one. How does it get smarter without the words mattering?
Well, we have to look at how a large language model fundamentally operates under the hood. Every single time it generates a new token.
And a token is basically just a word or a syllable,
Yep,
right?
roughly. Every time it generates one of those, the whole system has to run a complete forward pass.
A forward pass. Define that for us.
It basically means pushing data through all those billions of artificial neurons, layer by layer, doing these massive matrix multiplications, all just to predict that one next syllable.
Oh, wow. So just generating a single word triggers this massive wave of background calculation.
Yes. So under the H0 hypothesis, asking a model to think step by step doesn't work because it's writing down useful logic.
It works because...
because forcing it to write 50 words before giving the answer forces it to run 50 consecutive forward passes.
Oh, I see. It's buying the model generic processing time.
Exactly. It gives the internal math more cycles to just churn away and settle on the right answer.
That is fascinating. So if 8-0 is true, the AI is essentially just stalling for time.
Stalling for time, yes.
It's like, think of a student who gets called on in a lecture and they don't know the answer right away. So they stand up and say, well, professor, that is an incredibly nuanced question, and to fully address the parameters.
Right.
Like those words are completely hollow. They exist solely to keep their mouth moving while their brain frantically searches for the real answer.
That is a perfect parallel. Under 8-0, the chain of thought is nothing more than a processing timer.
Wow. Okay, but there's a third hypothesis, right?
Yes. And this is the most consequential one in the paper. It's H1, or latent state trajectories.
Latent state trajectories. Okay, this is the one that really hooked me. How is this different from just stalling for time?
So H1 argues that the actual reasoning is mediated by hidden internal mathematical states. These latent states that are shifting through the network's layers.
So the heavy lifting is happening in...
Completely. The actual deduction and logic occur entirely in this high-dimensional mathematical space that we can't easily see or read.
Wait, so if the hidden math is doing all the thinking, what are the words on my screen? Why is it writing English?
They're just a byproduct, a surface trace.
Okay, I kept coming back to a specific image while reading this. Tell me if this works.
Let's hear it.
If we assume the text is the actual reasoning, isn't that like assuming the exhaust smoke from a car is the engine?
Oh, that's good.
Like, obviously the exhaust is produced by the engine running, and if you see these perfectly rhythmic puffs of smoke, you know the engine is firing correctly.
Right.
But the smoke itself isn't turning the wheels.
No, it's not.
So H1 is basically saying the text is just the visible exhaust of this totally hidden mathematical engine.
That maps perfectly onto Wang's framework. So H2 claims the smoke turns the wheels.
Which sounds ridiculous when you put it like that.
Right. Then H0 claims the engine just needs time to run, and making smoke is a good way to keep it running.
The stalling theory.
Yeah. And H1 claims the engine is this complex, invisible mechanism, and the smoke is just a secondary emission.
Okay, so we have these three radically different views of the exact same phenomenon.
Yes, we do.
But AI is a black box. We can't just open it up and look at the gears, so... how on earth did Wang figure out which one is actually right?
Well, this is where his methodology really shines. He looks for studies that successfully separate the variables.
Right, the scientific method. If we want to know if the exhaust smoke is turning the wheels, we have to find a way to run the engine without producing any smoke.
Exactly. And researchers do this using what Wang calls compute-audited worked exemplars.
Which is quite a mouthful.
It is.
Yeah.
But it just means looking at experiments that strictly isolate three specific factors.
Okay, what are they?
First, the surface traces, so the visible words. Second, the latent interventions, which means actively tinkering with the hidden internal math. And third, matched budget expansions.
Let's break down that last one, the matched budget, because if we go back to the H0 theory, the stalling idea, how do we prove the model isn't just killing time?
Right.
Does a matched budget mean giving it the exact same amount of processing time, but forbidding it from writing the English explanation?
That is the exact mechanism. They give the model a complex problem and say, you have exactly this many compute cycles to arrive at the answer. But instead of letting it write out a chain of thought, they force it to output meaningless filler tokens.
Meaningless filler tokens? Like what?
Literally just printing dots. Just dot, dot, dot over and over again until the compute budget is spent, and then it has to give the final answer.
Oh, wow. So it's still doing the heavy mathematical lifting. It's still running those billions of parameters with every single dot.
Yes.
But it has absolutely no English words to map out the problem.
None. And the results are incredibly telling. Models forced to generate those filler tokens, getting the exact same compute time but producing zero surface reasoning, they still manage to solve complex problems at a remarkably high rate.
Really? Just with dots?
Just with dots. they perform significantly better than models forced to answer immediately with no extra time.
Okay, well, that is a massive blow to H2, right? The traditional view. Because if the model can solve the logic puzzle by just printing dots, the English words clearly aren't the primary vehicle for the reasoning.
It severely damages H2, absolutely.
It doesn't need to read the word therefore to make a logical leap.
No, it doesn't. But as you might notice, this actually provides really strong support for the H0 stalling theory.
Oh, right. Because if the dots work just as well as the words, doesn't that mean the specific hidden mathematical states don't really matter either? It just needs the wheels to spin.
That's the danger, yes.
So how does Wang overcome that? How does he point to H1, the hidden math trajectory, as the final winner?
To defeat the H0 theory, you have to prove that what is happening inside those compute cycles actually matters, not just how many cycles occur.
Okay, so quality, not just quantity.
Exactly. And this is where the latent interventions come in. Researchers look at the hidden state, the actual pattern of neural activations deep inside the model, and they carefully perturb it.
Perturb it. So they subtly alter the math while the model is actively trying to solve the problem.
Yes.
So sticking with our car analogy, they aren't just giving the engine time to run. They are literally reaching under the hood while the car is speeding down the highway, and they're messing with the spark plugs.
That's a great way to picture it. And when they do that, performance collapses entirely.
Oh, wow.
Even if you give the model unlimited compute time, and even if you allow it to write out its full, beautiful English chain of thought, if you mess with the specific trajectory of those hidden latent states, the model fails.
Okay, so the hidden math is clearly load-bearing.
Very much so. But here is the smoking gun. If you preserve those hidden mathematical states, so the math stays perfectly intact, but you completely scramble the surface text.
You change the visible words on the screen.
Right. If you intervene and mess up the text, the model's performance holds steady. Mm-hmm. It still gets the right answer.
Wait, really?
Yes.
So if you preserve the text but mess with the math, it crashes. But if you preserve the math and mess with the text, it succeeds.
Exactly.
Well, there it is. The hidden state is doing all the heavy lifting. The math is driving the car, and the words on the screen are entirely downstream.
Wang synthesizes all these compute-audited studies and concludes that, right now, the evidence overwhelmingly supports H1 as the default working hypothesis.
So the reasoning is the latent state, not the text, not just raw time.
Correct.
Okay, I have to say, if the reasoning is fundamentally invisible and the text is just the secondary exhaust, this feels like it should completely upend how anyone interacts with an AI.
It absolutely should.
Because if that beautifully structured explanation it gives me isn't its actual reasoning, we have a massive problem. When it explains why it made a decision, that explanation might be entirely disconnected from the reality of its internal math.
You've hit on the exact crisis that Wang's paper highlights. If H1 is the reality, there are four critical pillars of AI research and deployment that are currently built on a faulty foundation.
Four pillars. Okay, what's the first one?
The first pillar is what the industry calls faithfulness.
Meaning, is the AI faithful to the truth when it tells me what it was thinking?
Right. We can no longer assume that surface explanations are a faithful representation of the AI's logic.
Which is terrifying in high-stakes scenarios.
Think about it. Let's say an AI system denies a small business loan application.
Okay.
The applicant demands to know why. The AI generates a flawless, highly coherent three-paragraph response citing, you know, the debt-to-income ratio and recent market volatility.
But if the text is just exhaust, that paragraph isn't the reasoning.
It's an illusion. It is a plausible-sounding rationalization generated after the fact to match the final output.
So it's making up a story.
Basically, the actual computational reason it denied the loan is buried deep in those uninterpretable latent states.
I mean, the model isn't lying in a malicious human sense, right?
No, it's not malicious. But its output is structurally unfaithful to its own internal process.
That is just wild. It's generating a narrative specifically optimized to sound logical to a human, while the real decision was made in this completely alien mathematical dimension.
Right.
Which makes me wonder, how on earth are researchers supposed to fix these systems if they can't even trust the diagnostic output? Like, if we're totally blind to the real logic, how do we study it?
And that leads directly to the second pillar Wang identifies, interpretability.
Interpretability.
For years, the effort to open the black box of AI has heavily relied on analyzing the text these models generate. We read the chain of thought to figure out where the model went wrong.
But under H1.
Under H1, studying the generated text is fundamentally a dead end.
You're just studying the shape of the smoke rings instead of looking at the engine block.
Exactly. If researchers genuinely want to interpret how these models operate, they have to abandon the text. They have to develop entirely new methodologies to map and analyze those incredibly dense latent state trajectories.
They have to look at the geometry of the neural activations themselves.
Which is infinitely harder.
Yeah, that requires mathematical frameworks that we are arguably just beginning to invent, right? It's so much harder than just reading an English sentence and spotting a logical fallacy.
The difficulty scales exponentially, yeah.
Okay, so faithfulness is compromised because the model is rationalizing. Interpretability is broken because studying text is a dead end.
Right.
But wait, if we can't trust the text, how are we currently grading these models? Because every week, some AI company releases a press release bragging about how their new model scored like 95% on some massive standardized reasoning test. How are those administered?
That is the third pillar. Reasoning benchmarks. The current standard for evaluating an AI's cognitive ability usually involves giving it complex math word problems.
Yikes.
And crucially, many of these benchmarks explicitly reward models for producing a valid, well-structured chain of thought.
Wait, are you serious? We are grading the exhaust.
We are literally awarding points based on how convincing the post-hoc rationalization is.
That is insane. We're giving out A pluses to students who just have really good handwriting but completely fail to understand the material.
We are severely at risk of mistaking fluency for competence. If the text isn't the reasoning, we aren't grading their underlying logic at all.
We're grading their ability to mimic human reasoning.
Exactly. A model could score exceptionally high simply by being a very good storyteller. It generates steps that look right to a human grader while relying on brittle, flawed math to actually get there.
Man, so the tests are fundamentally flawed.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we're grading them wrong and we can't study their text to figure out why they failed, what happens when we actually need to correct their behavior?
And that highlights the fourth and final pillar Wang addresses, inference time intervention.
Inference time. So while the model is actively thinking and generating an answer.
Right. Let's say you're monitoring an AI and you see it starting to go down the wrong path.
Right. My instinct would be to intervene with words. I'd type a prompt like, no, you've misunderstood the premise. Try again and focus on this other variable.
But if the true reasoning is latent, trying to steer the model by changing the prompt is highly inefficient.
It's like trying to steer a car by blowing on the exhaust smoke.
Perfect analogy.
Yeah.
If developers want to fundamentally correct an AI's logic mid-thought, they have to intervene directly in the hidden latent states.
Wow. So they have to intercept the mathematical signals inside the neural network before they get translated into English.
Yes. They must reach into the residual stream.
Oh, residual stream.
It's basically the core pathway where data flows between the model's layers. They have to go in there and surgically alter the trajectory of the activations.
That sounds like attempting open-heart surgery on a patient while they are running a marathon.
It is an astronomical technical challenge.
You're trying to tweak millions of floating-point numbers on the fly to force the model back onto a logical path, and all without relying on the English language.
It's incredibly daunting. But Wang's argument is that confronting this reality is the only viable path forward. If we want true, robust control over advanced AI, we have to do the hard work.
Right. You know, listening to all this, it keeps making me think about something entirely outside of AI.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
Have you ever heard of that old cognitive psychology experiment by Nisbet and Wilson from 1977, I think?
The stalking experiment. Yes, absolutely.
Right. For the listeners who don't know it, they basically laid out four pairs of nylon stockings on a table, identical pairs, just arranged left to right.
Totally identical.
And they asked shoppers to pick the best pair, and the shoppers picked the rightmost pair, like, four times more often than the leftmost pair. It was a clean position effect.
Humans just tend to pick the last thing they look at.
Exactly. But here's the kicker. When the researchers asked the shoppers why they chose that pair, not a single person mentioned its position on the table.
Right. What did they say instead?
They confidently named features that literally did not exist. They talked about the superior material, the texture, the weave.
They hallucinated a reason.
They completely hallucinated it. The verbal explanation came from a completely different system than the one that actually made the choice.
And that is the exact computational sibling to Wang's H1 hypothesis.
Right. The chain of thought the AI produces is just like those shoppers. It's a plausible verbal report generated alongside the decision, but it's not a transcript of the actual hidden reasoning.
It's a fantastic parallel, though we should point out where the analogy breaks down just a little bit.
Oh, sure. Where does it break?
Well, in humans, that verbal report subsystem is totally decoupled. The words you speak don't feed back in and rewrite your subconscious, but in a language model.
The chain of thought tokens get fed back in as input to the next step.
Exactly. They are in the loop. The trace is part of the computation that produces the next step.
Ah, which brings us right back to our running theme for the whole show. If the text is feeding back in, does the line between behavioral fixes and architectural fixes still cut cleanly?
It gets very blurry.
Mm.
But Wang's current bet is clear.
Mm.
If you want to understand reasoning as a computational object, don't look at the words. Look at the architecture.
Don't stare at the smoke. Look at the engine.
Exactly. And that's really Wang's final call to action for the field. Two things. First, treat latent state dynamics as the primary object of study. Stop obsessing over surface text.
Right. And second.
Second, redesign our evaluations. Future benchmarks have to explicitly disentangle the visible text, the hidden states, and the raw compute time. If a test doesn't isolate those three, it's not actually measuring reasoning.
It's a massive wake-up call for the industry. You have to start measuring the right things.
Absolutely.
Well, as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave everyone listening with a final thought to mull over.
Go for it.
We've spent this whole time dissecting how artificial intelligence generates these perfectly logical, step-by-step explanations that aren't actually the real process it used. We called it a mirage. We called it unfaithful.
The post-hoc rationalization.
Right. But if you really take a step back, how often do we do the exact same thing?
The Stalking's experiment.
Exactly. Think about the last time you made a snap judgment. Maybe you had a strong gut instinct about a job candidate or an immediate aversion to a new idea.
Right.
If a colleague asked you to explain your choice, you almost certainly didn't say, "My subconscious neural network fired in a pattern I don't understand."
No, you generated a very logical, coherent explanation. Well, I chose this option because of factor A, factor B, and precedent C.
Right. But was that logical chain really how your brain made the choice in the moment? Or did your hidden subconscious biological network make the call in an instant, and your conscious mind just generated a plausible sounding chain of thought to explain it to the room afterward?
Are we just as unfaithful in our own self-reporting as the language models are?
That's the question. It definitely makes you wonder if our spoken words might just be the exhaust smoke of our own latent cognitive states.
It makes you wonder who is mimicking whom.
It really does. Well, we want to thank you for joining us on this deep dive today. We hope this exploration of latent reasoning gives you a new lens to view the tools you interact with every day.
Keep questioning those explanations, whether they come from a machine or from yourself.
That is machines learning. We will see you tomorrow.